You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, September 1st, October 1st, I meant. And we have the latest headlines from Richard Hake.
And Adora, good morning. It's 28 minutes before the top of the hour. U.S. nuclear envoy Chris Hill will arrive in North Korea today to revive disarmament talks. The country caused alarm last month by revoking its promise to disable nuclear facilities. International officials have cleared China's Olympic gymnasts of lying about their age. The investigation said the documentation provided confirms that the gold medal winners were old enough to compete. Gymnasts must turn 16 in the Olympic year. Mexican President Felipe Calderon is calling for new measures to fight drug-related violence. He wants to create a department that cracks down on corruption among police officers as well as a national crime database. A U.S. missile strike in Pakistan killed six people near the Afghan border. The strike took place amid reports that Pakistan's top Taliban leader has died of kidney failure. And New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg plans to seek a third term in office, but first he must revise a city law that limits the mayor to only two terms. The mayor won re-election in 2005 with 60% of the vote.
Richard, thank you.
You're welcome.
As the financial crisis seems to drag on, of course, many Americans, taxpayers, probably nearly everyone, is thinking about their mortgages, their car payments, their credit card debt, and for many, retirement. We're joined now for some advice by Harriet Johnson Brackey, a personal finance columnist for the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel. Welcome back, Harriet.
Thanks very much.
So clearly lots of people are concerned. What are they most worried about?
You know, a lot of people are worried about their bank deposits. The failure of Washington Mutual, the takeover of Wachovia, those have really spooked people as to whether their money is really there.
And so what do you tell them?
Well, I tell them that if they have an account below the FDIC limits, that I think it's all going to be fine because the FDIC, since 1934, no one's ever lost a dime in an insured account.
Okay, Harriet, we've gotten some questions for you. Here's one from Katie.
Hi, this is Katie Zanelli. We are in the middle of possibly purchasing a house. We're reevaluating it because we're in our last days of making the decision. We are looking to purchase the house at 475. It was appraised at 482. But now we're frantic and afraid with this crisis that the house will be devalued and maybe not worth that amount. How can we get an answer that we need to have in order to purchase this? Thanks. Bye now.
What do you think, Harriet?
That's a tough one. You got to trust that appraisal or perhaps get a second one. But if you're in a declining market, I think their fears might be true. It might be worth less down the road.
But it is possible to figure out what houses in your neighborhood are going for, which might give you a gauge.
Yeah, that's completely possible. You go to someplace like Zillow.com and see what houses are selling for in the neighborhood.
And Harriet, Mary writes on our website, she almost sounds a little bit like you. Let me see what you think. Enough of the doom and gloom, says Mary. Our grandparents, often called the greatest generation, were able to come out of a much worse situation than we have placed ourselves in. What was their solution? Hard work, no easy spending, and a little self-denial. Wall Street and Main Street could learn something from the greatest generation.
I think a lot of people are coming to the decision that they simply have to hunker down. They have to spend less. They have to borrow less. And if they can hold on to their jobs, they'll be all right.
And have you gotten, obviously, this element, this new element of this revised $700 billion plan, the notion of increasing the amount the FDIC will insure from $100,000 to $250,000. That ought to bring some comfort, the idea of that.
I hope so. I mean, even if you don't have $250,000 in the bank, the notion that the bank is solid and your deposit is insured, that's got to be comforting.
Al from Oklahoma City says, for years we've been told that we weren't saving enough and that we're financially overextended. Maybe it would be best if the financial system did not have enough money to lend for a while. If we cut back borrowing and our fast and loose spending habit, maybe we'll restart the economy and make it stronger and save a little money on a personal level, too. So perhaps a good thing the financial system has no money?
No, I do not think that's a good thing at all, because today people are having trouble getting auto loans, people are having trouble qualifying for mortgages, they're having trouble getting student loans. Credit is something that makes the economy go, and we have to have it.
Harriet, you're very popular. Here's another question for you.
Good morning. My name is David from Atlanta. I think when it comes to credit, I think a lot of people don't realize sometimes it's good to take advantage of the secured card. Sometimes that may mean putting down $100 to maybe get maybe $500 worth of credit. For the most part, I've had a good experience, but I've used secured cards to my advantage.
So what do you think about secured cards?
Well, those are aimed for people who are the worst credit risks. And if there's no other way to go, sure, go ahead. But the fees on those can be pretty high.
So how would you describe the calls that you've been getting and what you've heard people talking about? Is it anxiousness, panic, confusion? Are they just plain angry?
There is some fear and some confusion, but, you know, there is so much anger out there. People are furious that we got into this situation. You know, you got to realize 95% of the people are paying their mortgage payments every month. They're being solid about their responsibilities. And so people are really furious that the banking system seems to be just in a wreck right now.
Is it the case, though, that if 5% don't pay their mortgages, that we're so close to the edge on the sort of overall financial overextension in this credit market that everything goes haywire, that 5% is the margin for error?
I know that seems small to you, but that's a very high rate. Normally, it's about half that many are in default or less than that. And so, yeah, this is the situation we're in.
Randall, Harriet, here's a question from Randall Edwards. He says, I am young, 26 years old, and have wanted to begin investing for the last couple of years. Now that I have the money to put some modest funds, around $5,000, in an IRA, I'm worried that I should wait to invest. I think, however, that because I have so much time before I retire, I can invest now and perhaps gain an advantage when the markets return. What do you think?
Let me just say, you can never pick the right day to start investing. It makes sense if in times like these where it's kind of frightening, just tiptoe in a little bit. You know, start with the first $1,000 now. Wait a little while, go with the next $1,000. But you can't pick the right time. You just don't know.
But he's kind of a shrewd sort of bottom feeder, young kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Jed's got one last quick one for you. What do you tell clients that doesn't sound like a pabulum? The tried and true, don't panic, stay in for the long term, diversify?
I know that a lot of people are kind of getting tired of that, but I keep looking back at the statistics, and history isn't necessarily going to repeat itself. But if you look over the long term of the stock market,
mm-hmm.
if you look at 5-year periods and 10-year periods, stocks go up more often than they go down. It's just the way it's always worked.
Harriet Johnson, it's always a great pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Harriet Johnson Brackey, a personal finance columnist for the Fort Lauderdale Sun-Sentinel, with her words of advice.